Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone on the East Coast, good afternoon to everybody else. This is The Truth Is Out There, Voice of People. I'm Joe Golden, your host, and to welcome you to another episode of the show. We have two great guests coming on. First off, we're going to start off in another state, but before we do that, I want to bring in my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing very well. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great. We got two unique guests coming on the show. First off, we're going out to the Midwest to a campaign that really doesn't really start until 2022. This young lady is running for governor in that state. Her name is Renee Meyer. How are you doing, Renee?
I'm doing great. And my whole name is Renee Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R. And, I want to run for governor of South Dakota in 2022. That is when the next election for governor comes up.
Can you tell us a little bit about you and why you're running for governor?
Well, my main thing is that I ran into a bunch of issues when I was getting divorced with my ex-husband and kind of learned how the court system works and how it's stacked against the people and how things are not necessarily the way they're supposed to be. So, you know, I had a real eye-opener. And so, I'm really for the small business. I'm for, I ran a small business for 20 years. I ran an auto repair shop. And then I moved to the other side of the state. And so I know the economies of both sides of my state, which is kind of unusual because my state is split in half. We got the Missouri River running through it. And so we've got the east half and the west half. And they're kind of two different they're both a little bit different when it comes to how the people are. But I support the farmers, the ranchers, small businesses, and I support our local communities, you know. So that's really who I'm for. I'm for the people, and I want to be a public servant and not a not a public person that takes all of this stuff out of our system, you know. I want to end the corruption. You know, I want to end the corruption and embezzlement of public funds, stuff like that, you know.
Sounds
and I also
like you
want
to end the corruption.
Yeah.
It sounds
I also went to school for engineering.
So you went to engineering, you know, about the oil and things of that nature?
Well, yeah, I went to school for engineering, for civil engineering, which is buildings and stuff like that. But, you know, I ran an auto repair shop for 16 years, so that also taught me a lot. But, you know, I'm somebody that's done it the hard way, you know, somebody that's worked their butt off to get where they are, you know. So
you're one of
the kind
people,
of people
that's
need.
Good.
Yeah.
So you know how it
yeah.
is from the ground up, so you know how to feel pain and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. You know, I've done anything from waitressing to running my own business. So, you know, you have to be at the bottom in order to understand what the people at the bottom need. The problem is that we got these elite people making decisions for everybody, and much of it is in their own best interests and not for the interests of the people. And so, you know, so many people have their constitutional rights violated every single day on so many different levels that's what I want to fix. You know, I want to go in and make things fair for people again, make it so that we take our nation back. I mean, we need to take our nation back one state at a time, you know, and the way to do it is through the governor, because the fact is that we got to reinstitute our state constitutional values again. They're undermining it in many different ways through other things. They undermine it through codes and enforcement. You know, the codes and all that is a way of undermining the constitutional rights of everybody within a state. And if you can take the state back, you take the constitutional rights back. And that is why I want to run for governor and not another position.
There are several things going on in South Dakota. South Dakota has had a big boom over the years with fracking and that type of situation. And as a governor, will you still continue to support the fracking and the oil industry?
Well, the thing is the fracking, that was mainly North Dakota and not so much South Dakota. I support protecting the water. I mean, if it's going to harm the water, the problem with the pipelines is they're all designed to leak. They will leak. And they don't care about the environment. And it's only a way of moving the crude for the elite. It does nothing for the local economy, really. I mean, once the pipeline is built, it doesn't go to the local economy. Only building the pipeline does. And they don't have enough enforcement of the fact that they design these things to leak, and they know they're going to leak. And so I do support the Native Americans that were trying to stop a lot of that because of the fact that they were protecting the water of all the people of the state. But most of the fracking and everything, that is North Dakota, not so much South Dakota. So I support it to a degree. I mean, as long as they can stop it from leaking and they're doing it legally and lawfully, you can't really do much. But you can change that so that, you know, I mean, if it's going to benefit the state, then I'm all for it. But most of that does not in the long run. It's just a lot of money changing hands into officials' pockets, and it doesn't really do much for the state in the long run.
Back in July 4th, President Trump came into South Dakota, into the Mount Rushmore area, and there was a group of Native Americans that were protesting certain things for the conditions of the area in the state. And they got taken over basically by Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and they got mismessaged because of it. As governor of South Dakota, what would you do to solve that problem?
Well, the thing is there is always a group of Native Americans protesting Mount Rushmore. That's just common. It just happens all the time. There's a lot of good people within the Native American community. And so, you know, I would want to work with them. And I think that we need to do something for the Natives because of the fact that they have the poorest areas. I mean, they are so stricken with poverty. We need to help improve their land for growing food, for getting them better work. And I align with their spiritual beliefs. I see their point. But as far as the protesting goes, I mean, the Native Americans is always peaceful. And so when Antifa took that over, that was all just put a stop to all that. I mean, the thing is everybody has a right to protest as long as it's peacefully done. And the minute you start getting violent or blocking roads, I don't agree with that. So, you know, the thing is if we're going to protest, we need to do it peacefully. And, you know, and it needs to be peaceful. But I think that there's a lot we can do to improve the to improve the reservations where much of these people live. And, you know, the Mount Rushmore thing was just a thing where, like you said, the Antifa took it over. And I don't agree with Antifa. I don't agree with violence. I think we need to stop the violence, you know, and but what we need to do is do the best things we can for our state. And that's
how would
what
you,
I'm for.
Excuse me. How would you stop the violence? The rioting,
well, I mean,
the looting. And
well, you have enough police force out there if you know what's going to happen. I mean, the thing is we do have a good police force in our state. And basically, I think what they did at Mount Rushmore is they basically hauled away the cars that they put in the road to block them. I mean, you know, we have tow trucks. We can end the violence peacefully without much, you know, stuff. You give them a court date, you let them go. You know, they come back later, and you don't escalate the violence. You know, you put enough people in place to control it. And, I mean, when there's going to be a big event, and it usually, you know, we don't have much violence in our state, really. I mean, overall, if you look at our whole history, there's very little violence when it comes to anything like protesting. Most people in the state are very peaceful people, and it's usually the out-of-staters that come in that are trying to instigate the violence. And so if you stop the out-of-staters from causing it in the first place, then it doesn't happen.
As governor, you set your pro-constitution, but you are running in the Constitution Party because you have a sitting governor who's a Republican, and it's actually pretty popular.
She's popular to an extent. I mean, yeah, it does make it seem like she is popular, but she is not as unpopular as you think, because there's a lot of people that have contacted her to help them with certain issues, and her office pretty much does not want to help anybody unless it's in her best interest. I don't agree with a lot of things that Kristi Noem has done. I've been watching her. I do agree that she did not shut down the state. I do commend her on that. And I was a Republican before I switched. And actually, we've determined we cannot get the Constitution Party back on the ballot. So I am going to be switching to either Independent or the Libertarian Party. I am leaning towards the Libertarian Party just because that would help me get a real boost up as far as running for governor. But if I can't get that way going, I will run as an independent, because we just cannot get the Constitution Party back on the ballot. The Secretary of State's office in this state is very corrupt, and so every time we get signatures, I mean, they throw about all of them out, and so there's just no way they're just going to let us be a party again. So I've kind of given up on that, and I'm going to switch to either independent or libertarian, just because they do align, the libertarians align a lot with all my values. And they, you know, there's a lot of people in that party that just want to do good for all the people. And that's kind of, you know, the way I'm leaning, is just find a lot of people. And the other thing, too, I want to put together is, if I do become governor, is to find at least two or three people that can help me do a lot of the, you know, run the state. That I can hire and be like a team effort to make decisions and, you know, kind of have it more than just one person. I would be finally making the final decisions, but that way you get a team of people together to do all the work,
like,
and really make good changes in my state.
It's like a board, like a business board.
Yeah, kind of like a business board, just to put together a few people that align with my values and want to do the best for our state. And that way decisions are made. And, you know, when a group of people makes decisions, they're always better decisions than what just one person. Because everybody's
support,
doing it as a whole for everybody.
Do you support, are you a Right to Life candidate?
Yes, I am pro-life. I believe that we should not be killing all of our offspring. And there's a whole thing on that. But, I mean, the thing is I do believe we need to reinstill our Christian values or spiritual values, just as long as you have a peaceful, you know, spiritual or Christian values. I mean, there's a lot of good religions out there. The Native community needs to be supported in theirs. They need to be able to practice what their religion is, and their religion is very peaceful. As long as it's a peaceful religion, I totally support it.
Okay. How about the Second Amendment?
I am all for the Second Amendment. We need to, well, South Dakota, pretty much, we have pretty much kept our gun rights in this state. We have a lot of hunting and everything else, and I aim to keep that free. I also, I'm basically pro-gun. We definitely need to keep our gun rights, because what I believe is that if everybody has a gun, then nobody is going to be breaking into homes and causing problems. So the good guys need to have the guns as much as the bad guys. When you make them illegal, then the only people that have the guns are the bad guys. So the only way to stop that is for the good guys to have the guns as well.
Okay. And you for balancing the budget? As a governor, do you have to balance, in South Dakota, have to balance the budget every year, or are you able to spend more than you could handle?
I am not sure, but from what I understand, there's basically our state doesn't have hardly any debt. So from what I understand, the last time I heard Christy Noem speak, she said the state doesn't have any debt, very little debt. So that is good, and I aim to keep it that way. But I do believe that there's a lot of embezzlement that takes place in my state, and I aim to stop the embezzlement, because that means we can lower or do away with a lot of the taxes. I do believe that they're really overtaxing everybody. I want to lower the tax rates on cars and motorcycles, trailers, stuff like that. I want to lower them to, like, you know, $25 to cars. You know, I want to really cut that in half, because the problem is that a lot of the people that are hurting the most have the hardest time affording that. And so I want to lower the vehicle taxes. I want to eliminate any taxes on food. There's a lot of sales tax in our state. And so I want to cut the taxes down. And if we eliminate the embezzlement, then we can have everything we already have, all of the, you know, all of our stuff, you know, your ambulance service, your police and all that. And you can lower the taxes and still have all those services still available if we can eliminate the embezzlement out of the state to begin with.
How about education and the students? How would you do education?
We have really good schools here. I don't know how much that would need to change. Most of the schools are taking place in your town. The state has a little bit of say over that, but most of the school system is done by counties and by the local communities. And we have a lot of good schools here, so I don't want to change something that's working.
Okay. And now a little bit hardcore stuff. Secure the wall with law enforcement. Would you allow ICE to come into you into your state to execute warrants that they have for illegals that could go in your state, if there is any?
Oh, what was that again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Okay, ICE. You know, you got ICE coming in, illegal aliens.
Oh, the ICE agents.
Would you support ICE agents working with the law enforcement in your state to get rid of all the illegals that come in here, especially the hardcore criminals? Because
that is important. I do think that is important. As long as you work with them, so they're not causing more trouble or not creating more problems than they're solving. You know, they would have to, you know, align with our local sheriffs, I would think. They would have to locate them first. And I think that there should be a process so that, you know, I don't believe in no-knock raids. I absolutely do not believe in that. I think the no-knock raids need to be taken off the list. There should be no reason that we harm our citizens, especially the good ones.
Okay.
And the problem is we don't have a lot of illegals.
Okay, as far as no-knocks, the reason why no-knocks were initially put in is because if you have a violent criminal that may be holding hostages and or may have drugs or weapons in the place, if you're not to say police ahead of time or some other avenue, you may give away enough time to either flush the drugs down or hide something, or they can come back and shoot, and more people will get hurt. No-knocks, when it first started, was supposed to be for the safety of not only the officers, but the people inside as well as the community itself, because you don't know where it's going to go. The two
I believe that it creates more problems than it solves, and a lot of times they catch good people. There's been times where they've mistaken residences, you know, mistaken identities, you know, that can all happen. I think that the thing is if they do something like that, there's got to be a way of going through it and making sure that they're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah,
and that there's got to be other peaceful
right.
avenues available before they do that,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, that's
that has to be a last
proper
resort.
Investigation.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing is the reason why we asked about that is because we have a very big human trafficking problem in this country and in Mexico, back and forth, and it's all 50 states. And that's a big problem, along with the drugs, especially cartels with fentanyl and everything else. And every state has a problem, including South Dakota, with that. As long as we catch the total security of what.
I understand that every state has that problem, and that's what Trump is solving right now. I mean, that's why the whole push is against him. It's because of the drug trafficking and the human trafficking, the child trafficking. CPS is involved a lot in that stuff, and I think some of that stuff needs to be shut down. Families need to be heard. I mean, the local family that their children have been taken and stolen and sold to human traffickers has to stop. And that is what Trump is doing now. Now, hopefully a lot of that is cleared up by the time I get into office in 2022. But you're right. I mean, that is a real, real problem. And for those kind of things, yes, I do think that we need to go the extra step. That's what the military is solving right now. I mean, the white hats in the military are working with Trump to solve that. And that's what the whole Q movement is about. And I mean, I'm all part of the QAnon. And that is why I joined Twitter. And is to get in with Q and see the Q posts and know what's going on at every single minute. And so, I mean, the basic thing is that, you know, we do need to solve the human trafficking and the drugs. But when Kristi Noem did the whole thing of South Dakota's all on meth Dakota, I mean, that gave us a bad rap. And most of the good people in South Dakota have nothing to do with meth. It's many of the people that are flowing through our state with the human traffickers and not so much the people within it. I mean, I do agree that is a problem, and that's a problem that we have to solve. But, the human trafficking, yes, and we have the I-90 running through our state, and the sheriffs and the highway patrol are pretty good at patrolling that section of road that keeps a lot of that stuff at bay and not becoming such an issue as it is in a lot of other big cities.
Okay. And you have of course, we fully add your section. You got the so-called fake pandemic. How would you respond if they still have this going on in 2022?
Well, the main push for the plandemic, as I call it, the plandemic, because basically the coronavirus is basically the common cold. And so everybody is going to test positive. And many of the test strips are already testing positive. You don't even have to have somebody test with it, and all of a sudden it shows up positive. Many people have been shown that they went in for testing. The testing line was long. They left early, never got tested, and all of a sudden they get this thing back, this letter saying, you have it. Well, that's because the test strips were corrupt to start with. So they wanted to run the numbers up, and the coronavirus is basically the common cold. Yes, there was a super bug one that China released to try to stop everything, but much of what people have caught in this time is basically the common cold. And the HCQ is the answer to that. The problem I have with Christy Noem is she did a HCQ study, and the only people able to get into the HCQ or have it prescribed by the hospital were the people within this study, so to make sure it's fine. But this malaria drug has been tested and is a very safe thing, and I believe that anybody that wants it should be able to have it. And Trump also signed a law, I believe, that gave everybody the right to have something prescribed if they want it, you know,
exactly.
That they have the right
now,
to decide that.
Okay. The last couple of minutes, can you first give us the website that our listeners are able to get a hold of you and donate to you and volunteer for you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've had this website for quite a while. And I've got my first two pages are my governor page. I also, I'm just setting up now a Renee for Governor page, but I haven't got that completed. So I'm going to give you my my We the People 2015.info, I-N-F-O. So it's We the People 2015.info, or you can just Google Renee for Governor and you will find my page.
Okay. And, you, one last sentence before you leave. What would you like to tell my audience from your heart for the last minute?
Okay. Well, basically, a vote for me is a vote for freedom. I believe in the freedom of the people. I believe in freedom of guns. I believe in freedom of. I believe in the freedom of the babies, the pro-life, freedom for hemp, whatever. I believe you should be able to choose your medicine. I believe we should be able to decide what is best for us. And I just want to improve my state. You know, I'm just here. I'm a common citizen. I'm not a politician by any means. You know, I'm just shoot from the hip. I say it like it is, you know, and I just want to do the best for the people of South Dakota.
I want to thank you for coming on the show, Renee. I will have you on again before 2022. So we'll definitely got to have you on at least a couple times, okay?
Okay, well, that would be great. I would love to be a part of your listeners. And, you know, the thing is we all, the way I said it is, you know, Trump cannot save the nation on his own. We all need to pitch in and do what we can to save our states, our local government, wherever you can help, whatever you can do. You know, I believe every day we have a chance to make a difference for everybody. Like lately, I've got somebody from New York that's trying to move to South Dakota. I helped her load a whole bunch of boxes into a storage unit. You know, I am one, I just want to help people. I want to help anybody I can whenever I can.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and God bless you. Thank you so much, okay?
Well, thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
You
bye-bye
too.
Now. Okay, we actually have our other guest on. I will bring him on in 1 second. She's going to be very good. She sounds a lot like Hera in some ways. And Libertarian Party would be a good party for her based on the Constitution Party out there. And the governor of South Dakota, she's a good lady, but she's got
some issues. I got a question. Secretary of State. Was she talking about Pompeo?
No, she's talking about the Secretary of State. Every state has Secretary of State. And she's
okay,
talking
who's
about
our Secretary of State here in Florida?
I forgot his name. It's up.
We actually have
Secretary
one?
Secretary of the Second. No, yeah.
How come I never voted one. For this?
It's appointed, I think. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Let me get our next guest on. Hold on.
Well, I'm not too hip on that.
Okay. Well, we got Mid Chasing Pace now. We're actually coming home a little bit. We have this gentleman here. He's running in the same district that Scarlett and I live in, CD20. Of course, we have this very bad guy named Alcee Nobles Hastings. That's our current representative. But Greg Russell White is a great guy. Every time I see him, he's great. He's outstanding. He's going to defeat. He's double Hastings, if you call him. Let me bring on Greg Russell White. Greg, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. We are counting on you to get rid of our fearless Osgood, our FIFA leader over here in CD20, what we call No Rules Hastings.
Are you aware you got thrown off the bench as a judge for taking bribes?
Yes, I'm familiar with Hastings as a federal judge. He was impeached and removed for bribery and perjury, 8 of 17 counts.
And you know
how he was able to stay
as a congressman, Arlen Specter.
Well, I'm not sure other than uninformed voters, because the way that you stay as a congressman is to be repeatedly voted in by people who probably should do a little more research. That's our main objective, is just to educate the voter base.
Yeah, this guy's been in office for 30 years. You know, if he's a symbol of term limits.
He's correct.
Yeah, I've actually got term limits on my agenda, and a lot of people, you hear about it, them bringing it up as a convention of states and trying to force it through that way. We've never had a convention of states. We sorely need term limits, especially in Congress, because as anyone knows, after you've been in a job for so long, usually complacency sets in at best. They kind of just start going through the motions, phoning it in. But at worst, in this instance, we feel that corruption sets in. So I've proposed a logical step of, if the president's 8 years, two terms, if Senate two terms would be 12 years, split the difference for Congress and call it 10. A lot of people would like to see it much less, but you have to think of it in terms of, do you want term limits? Because the very people that you're trying to limit are the ones that have to pass it. So as much as we would all like to see less, maybe that, you know, six years for congressmen, I just don't think that they're going to pass it. Now, me being a construction worker, you know, we take a job knowing that when the plant's finished, the job's done, you look for another job. And that's the way that Congress was originally set up by the Founding Fathers. Do your time, go home, live with the laws you created.
Yeah, but they didn't get paid there. They had their own lives outside of there.
Yeah, well, they slowly did institute pay originally. The very first concept, if you go back that far, they were all well-off individuals. They were all landowners. And, you know, we can't really compare, you know, to 240 years ago to today. Things have changed a little bit, and compensation, you know, if we're not getting our money's worth now, if you cut it, you sure won't, because we all know what happens. You know, minimum wage, you get minimum work. As you know, if you want better quality, that's why the private sector, supply and demand, you're rewarded for doing good work, working hard, and getting the job done. Fortunately for us, we have a very few individuals in government, such as President Trump, who are getting it done and making our lives at least tolerable. But most of the ones up there, such as Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest of them, are making it very difficult to live life as an American.
Okay. Now, at CD20, you have a lot of minority constituents. So it's a big black population and an Hispanic population in the district. And in that district, as we know, people that ran in it, it doesn't matter what race you are, Elsie kills it. We had a couple of our friends that ran, and one got like 20%, and that's high.
Yes, sir.
The thing is, how can you relate to them in that situation and to get a go to defeat Elsie? I know he's very sick, and we don't think he's going to make it through the next term because we know he has terminal cancer. But that doesn't matter with these people. They just fall down Democrat line. How are you going to make it through that? And I know you're making some headway.
As you said, in 2016, Hillary got 80% of the vote in that district. It's a plus 31 Democrat district that has been neglected by Hastings for a very long time. He seemed to focus on foreign affairs and other issues rather than the state of Florida, which he's on record is not even liking. So it's understandable that he didn't help it out much. Now, as far as the district being minorities, it's like this. No matter whether you are a minority or not, or the type of minority, everyone has the same values and they want the same thing. They want what's best for their children. They want to make a good living. They want to be able to prosper and gain that American dream. Now, the uniting factor is that do you continue to vote down the path of socialism or for capitalism? Because under my platform, we need to, one, start with education and build a workforce that is educated and prepared for new world jobs. We need to bring in a diversification of our economic base. In other words, the primary driving factor in our district and most of Florida is what? Tourism, service industry, with a little bit of agriculture in our district in the West. So we need to bring back manufacturing jobs, technology, financial sector, and bring some small business protections, because we all know what's going on right now with COVID, and nobody can open. We've got big box stores open, but they're penalizing smaller businesses, and they're going out of business. So I believe firmly that everyone wants what's in their own self-best interest, and that's better jobs, better education for their children. That's what I intend to use my experience and my connections as I've traveled the entire United States working in the construction field, building everything from nuclear power plants, geothermal refineries, that I've made contacts that run vocational training, trade schools, and actual job training. Now, a lot of people know that FP&L is going to build eventually a new nuclear plant at Turkey Point. That's going to be 10 years work that is now being built. The AP1000 project in Georgia has been going on since about 2012, and it's about to finish up. So you're talking about 10 years work. Why should we let that work happen in Oregon, Texas, Canada, Japan? Let's bring some fab shops and industry back to this district, save the transportation and other factors that are built into that plant, to save not only the plant money, but the customers after it's built, to cut down the overall cost of that project while giving the local economy a big, big boost.
Why are we building a nuclear plant?
Well, as you know, the agenda for, quote, global warming, which it's not, climate change
is
happening,
no
but
warming.
Not in the manner that they say. It is cyclical, and it's Mother Nature. Man has very little to no impact. However, with that being said, we do have pollution issues, and everybody wants clean air, clean water. Well, if you're talking about pollution, nuclear is the most dependable zero carbon emission power out there, and I've worked in all the sectors, okay? And that's why I chose to work and continue working in nuclear, because it is, in my opinion, one of the best forms of power. So compared to, say, like geothermal, where they're pumping poisons out of the ground, they don't let them put it back where they got it. they make them dispose of it, and it's a harmful issue. When you go to solar, they're wanting to build solar. The footprints are 4, 5, 10 to 1 what a nuclear plant is, and it has other issues. When it takes up land space, it actually prevents the surrounding area from absorbing carbon from the atmosphere. So even though it doesn't emit carbon, it's a net carbon gain. So there's a lot of science to it. And going back to your previous caller where she said pipelines were designed to fail, to leak, I'm a welding inspector by trade, and that is by far not true. They go above and beyond to make sure that all of these plants, and including pipelines, are as safe as possible. They're highly regulated. So, and like I said, as far as the nuclear plants, it's on the books. It's going to happen. So we should reap the benefits, not only the power from it, but the work building it. Because, like I said, that's 10 years.
How do you know you're not going to have a three-mile island?
The new designs, which as a source inspector, not divulging any trade secrets, are far superior to the old designs out of the 60s and 70s. They've worked on that, and there are inherent safety factors that kind of take the human factor out. These and the Nuclear Regulatory Committee have went through these and tested the designs. The one in Georgia will soon be finished and making power. There's two units there. They've already built three plants in China that's been making power for over 2 years without any problem. It's just overall better design, smaller footprint, and just smarter. The modular design where they can build it at many places, it's not all built on site. They build parts elsewhere and then ship them in, kind of like modular homes, is a much smarter way of doing business.
So you'll actually, that will actually increase the economy in CD20 as well as in the rest of Broward County and Florida. CD20,
yes,
can you describe to our listeners where is CD20 officially?
Yes, sir. CD20, the Congressional District of Alcee Hastings, in the west and north, extends from Belgrade and Pahokee east to Riviera Beach, and then with parts extending toward the coast all the way down to Miramar. So it's 2,400 square miles of mostly rural area. So there is a lot of issues in that area with water quality. Runoff from Lake Okeechobee needs to be sent south through the district. Congressman Brian Mass has been working on that, and he's attempting to do a pretty good job. He's got a good start on it, but I have not heard a word from Alcee Hastings on helping with the issue. So it's mainly rural, agriculture, and then services on the coast.
What type of agriculture?
You've got a lot of sugar cane in the area, citrus, of course, and other fruits and vegetables. There's, believe it or not, a lot of people with my picture, they see a cowboy hat and they say, oh, he must be from Texas. Well, actually, we've got a pretty good cattle industry, and we've had cowboys a long time before Texas.
There you go. Okay, now we're going to go through the basics. You are pro-life?
Yes, sir. Every life is precious. I know that a lot of the states are going toward the heartbeat bill, which is where I align. And I know that Alcee Hastings, when the abortion came up for the vote for Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, H.R. 36, which makes it illegal to abort anything over 20 weeks, he voted against it because he felt it wasn't long enough. I cannot agree with that it should be much less. Heartbeat starts generally 6 to 8 weeks because defining murder is you kill someone, you stop their heartbeat. So with that logic, would it not make sense that life would start with a heartbeat? If you stop that heartbeat prior to birth or any time else, it's literally murder.
Okay, I agree with that. A very starts the part of right to life. Second Amendment.
I'm a member of the Second Amendment Coalition of South Florida. Matter of fact, we're probably going to go to the gun show and register some NRA memberships this weekend. we enjoy doing that, and I feel that there should be a national carry that we should not have to register. That's just like having to register your arms, because if you get a concealed carry permit, it's 99.9% likely you have a gun, and they've got your name, you're on the list, and that's wrong. We should not infringe law-abiding citizens in any way, shape, or form to own a firearm, because we all know criminals will find a way. Now, that's not to say make it easier for the criminals to get them, so I do believe in background checks and things that we already have, and we need to enforce that and expand the database so that these criminals can't slide through the cracks. But any attempt to tax or make it financially hard to buy either ammunition or weapons is wrong, and there should not be any infringement or ability to impede any particular firearm such as an AR-15.
You support the wall, correct?
Yes, sir. Like I said, I get to travel. I have seen what happens on the coast. I have been San Diego and south all the way through Los Algodones on the coast there, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. I've seen the wall or the lack thereof in several spots over the years, and I've seen the progress they've made and the changes in towns like El Paso where they finished the wall and how much the crime rate dropped dramatically. So, yes, the sealing our borders and making a sovereign nation is important for several reasons, because illegal immigration affects everything from health care when we're overloading our, you know, our welfare services, schools, jobs. It impacts so many things. So once we finish the wall, and that's putting it in, you know, this crisis in a safe condition that it won't get any worse, then we need to do an identification, a head count, to see just how bad the problem is. Because legislation in the future, how you deal with it, is vastly different for 2 million as it is for 20 or 30 million. And we have to have an answer to that with the census coming up. I cannot believe the court decided that you couldn't ask if you were a citizen. That is about the worst thing possible that we could have heard about the census.
Yeah, you need to know where the citizens are, the real citizens, and it's all about the vote. Now,
it's all
like
about
I asked
the birth
you,
certificate.
Yeah. Do you believe in photo ID for voting?
Absolutely. You know, the Constitution and a U.S. citizen, we're not electing other world, because the Democrats were talking about interference from other countries trying to interfere with our election. What is the definition of foreign interference in an election? Having foreigners who are here illegally voting in our election is interference, pure and simple. So the very fact that the Democrats are concerned with foreign interference seems that they would support voter ID. If you're not a citizen, you don't get a vote. I'm sorry. You don't have any skin in the game, as they said. You haven't paid taxes. You're not a member of the community, at least not legally. And that's just very wrong and should be enforced, and there should be very stiff penalties if caught voting and you're not a citizen.
We have a
what
big
do you think
problem
about a thumbprint? Sorry, Joe. What do you think about a thumbprint for identification?
I like it. There's a lot of ideas floating out there. I mean, the technology's there. When you go to the grocery store, you go to any kind of store, and you charge, you buy something, you know within seconds, you get a receipt at your bank. Okay, they know it's you. There's securities on it. So the technology's there, whether you use thumbprints, you use paint. We have to come up with a better system that's secure that will identify you, one, as a citizen, you have the right to vote wherever you're voting, and we should be able to get this almost instantaneously.
And also, it would cure another problem, identity theft.
Yes, sir. That's a very big problem, because that goes back to these illegals. And you keep hearing Democrats say, well, they pay taxes. That's impossible. If you do not have a Social Security number and you don't go through your iVerify, and now that we have E-Verify in Florida, I believe DeSantis passed that and stricter measures for violating that, how are you paying taxes other than sales taxes or something at a store? The only way is through identity theft, where you have stolen a Social Security number. So then the question isn't, whether they're working and they're paying into that account, the question is then, do they try to draw those funds out, and that poor citizen that worked for 30, 40, 50 years, and they go to retire, now their funds are unavailable, somebody else has been drawing them. So that's a big issue, and the fact that now we can go after identity theft from people from other countries is a big deal.
It's true. Also, in our state, at the getting a driver's license, you have to show a birth certificate now.
I did. When I got mine, I had to bring in my birth certificate. And you should have to bring in a stamped, certified birth certificate. And I think that probably should have been the case for certain elected officials.
I think it should be for voting.
I've got a couple questions because we're running short of time. One is, what you think about the mail-in ballots?
Mail-in as a bulk, just send one to everybody, is wrong. You don't know how many, where they're going. There's no accountability. Now, working all over the country and being like the last election, I was in Oregon. I got a mail-in absentee ballot, which is different. You request it. They have your name. They know why, because our military that's deployed, they need to have the right to vote. And there's other instances. Like I said, in my case, I was all the way across the country, and I didn't see paying $1,000 for a plane ticket to come vote. So we need to have that choice for whatever reason. Now, in the COVID situation and with Florida, if for your health you want to request it and go through that situation, that's fine. And I think that Florida does a good job of after the election, you can log on and you can see that your vote counted. But just to arbitrarily mail out ballots is absolutely wrong.
So what happened? 25% of the ballots in Brooklyn were mail-in ballots were thrown out from this last primary.
How do you come back from that? You know, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Now we have problems with human trafficking in Broward County. We also have big-time drug problems. Drugs, especially in CD20, like the CD22. At 23, there's a big drug cartel problem in this area. Would you support Trump in finding ways to two reasons? One, to get rid of the drug gangs and the drug dens here in Broward, at the same time, increase funds for people who are addicts for recovery.
Yeah, well, like I said, traveling the country, I've been to California and Oregon to saw, and I've seen how not to do it. You do not enable drug use by providing needles and places for them to drug use. I'm a big proponent and supporter of our law enforcement agencies. They're one of the candidates in Palm Beach. I'm close to. I've talked to him several times. And just like with Palm Beach and Broward, I, on the federal level, would love to have a interdepartment connection on a local level to help federal training and support and task force to work with our local sheriff's departments and police in taking care of this drug problem. Because if we finish the wall like we talked earlier, and then we support and give resources to our Coast Guard because we get a lot of ours on the Florida coast by water. So we need to beef up those resources to make sure that they're not coming in. And then we can police and get actual federal cooperation at the local level to weed out these gangs. And as far as addicts and stuff, there are social programs and hospitals that we need to take advantage of to get them off. You got to show some tough love here. And part of that recovery is making sure that they get back into society at a level that they can function. That's housing and a job. A lot of the homeless is where your drug problem is, and most of them are homeless because of their drug problem. So we've got to get a handle on that, or we're going to wind up just like California out there in San Francisco, where it's disgusting.
I wish we had more time. We only have a couple minutes left. Can you tell our listeners where to find you, where to donate?
Yes, sir. Musselwhite for Congress. That's MusselwhiteForCongress.com. You will find links to my Facebook and my Twitter, which are also MusselwhiteForCongress.com or MusselwhiteForCongress. And there we donate through WinRed, which that is on the donate page. And hopefully you'll find interviews like this one on our media page and learn more about our platform and what we stand for.
I'd like to, one more thing. Tell our listeners something from your heart, like we did with the other young lady. Do the same here from your heart to tell our listeners why they need to vote and support you.
It's all about bringing America back together. Our phrase is get on the boat, and boat stands for building our America together. The divide has gotten so bad in this nation that we're not going to be able to continue. We are really and truly headed for civil war if we don't get it together. It's love thy neighbor, love them for who they are, and seek out what we have in common. Don't express our differences and focus on the differences and be divided. No matter what your race or creed or color, your heritage or culture, we're all Americans. We're all in this together, and we're stronger together in this great American melting pot. So that's where it's at. We just need to start the healing and get our act together and go back to that former American dream of prosperity. Everyone has a job. Everyone has a home. Everybody's well fed.
Greg, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Scott and I both have an announcement for you. The Truth is Out, the Voice of the People radio show officially endorses Greg Musselwhite for Congress in CD20. We need to get rid of the rule out of Hastings once and for all and rebuild CD20. It's desperately needed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you again. We'll get you on hopefully after the primary. You go win that, and we'll get you on as we get towards November, okay?
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. We only have a couple minutes left. We have less than 3 minutes left of the show. I want to thank Renee.
What happens if a tornado or a hurricane hits that nuclear plant?
It'll be fine. They have ways to
The Fukushima upgrades will handle that. They can withstand over a 30-foot tidal surge.
There was
a big upgrade.
Anyway,
and
yeah.
From lessons learned, nuclear is by far the safest industry.
Well, now you got me thinking about it, see? Okay.
Just call me. My phone number's on my website. Call me anytime. Be happy to educate you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Anyway,
Greg.
We got two minutes left. I want to thank Renee Mayer, who's running for governor in South Dakota. I want to thank Greg Musselwhite, who we just endorsed, who's running for CD20 here in South Florida, Broward County, and Palm Beach County.
I voted for him already.
Scarlett. I want to thank everyone in our chat room and anywhere else. We'll see you on Sunday. Sunday, we have Catherine McBean on. She's running for supervisor electric here in Broward County. And then on the 12th, we got another great host on our radio shows, Mike Essence, will be on the 12th. Anyway, I want to thank you all. Have a great evening. See you Sunday.
My children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. There's pride in every American heart, and it's time